I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Midday. It's the first day of spring at long last. And in the second hour of today's show, how to overcome your nature deficit disorder. Some tips and suggestions for where to go for a great experience in Maryland as spring finally arrives. Stay tuned for the March edition of Midday on the Bay with Rona Cabell after the news at 1. Up front, health insurance expansion in Maryland and across the country. A look at the status of the Affordable Care Act with about 10 days to go before the Obamacare sign-up deadline. Jonathan Weiner of the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health and reporter Jenna Johnson of the Washington Post join us after the news from NPR. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Midday on WYPR. Dan Rodericks here. Thanks again for making Midday part of your day. We're just about 10 days away from the federal deadline for people to sign up for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. Since October 1st, at least 5 million people have enrolled in some form of private health insurance through federal and state websites, with at least a million more expected through March 31st. That's the deadline for getting insurance and avoiding a tax penalty. And the numbers I just gave you came from the Obama administration. Here in Maryland, the O'Malley administration reports that more than 200,000 people have enrolled in a health insurance plan of some kind since October, despite the widely reported and politically embarrassing glitches in the state's online health insurance website. We have plenty of people getting government-funded insurance through the state-run Medicaid program. 193,670 as of March 11th, according to the state. But Maryland still only had about 40,000, a little more than 40,000 paying customers. That is people who enrolled in private health plans through Maryland Health Connection website. That, again, according to the state, and those are from numbers late last week. 40,000 is still well below the original projections for that group. With the clock ticking for the state, and various nonprofits who are out there trying to get people to sign up, trying to get the word out, the clock is ticking. March 31st is approaching. They've put out a radio ad that Vinnie DeMarco, a leader in the effort here in Maryland, talked about the other day. So now we'll get a chance to hear it. United Way's 211 hotline being advertised in this spot that features Baltimore Ravens cornerback Ladarius Webb.
Welcome back to Sports Central. Our guest is Ravens cornerback Ladarius Webb.
Glad to be here.
Looking back at the victory in Detroit, tell me about this play.
Set, 2-1-1.
What does it mean when you call 2-1-1?
Well, actually, you can call 2-1-1 for help with health insurance.
What?
Yeah. Now, there's a new way for people who don't have health insurance to get low cost or free coverage. You call 211 to find out if you're eligible.
Wait a minute. I have friends who need health insurance. What do they do?
For information about free or low-cost health insurance, pick up the phone and call 211.
Ladarius, thanks.
Set, 211.
That's a winning call.
Thank you, Ladarius. You can call here on Midday at 410-662-8780 during this hour, as we discuss the fast-approaching enrollment deadline with Jenna Johnson, Maryland politics reporter for The Washington Post. Jenna, nice to have you on our show today.
Thank you for having me.
And Jonathan Weiner is back, professor of health policy and management at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, who's been with us all along, even before the Affordable Care Act became an act of Congress, to explain it. And he's been on the show, I don't know how many times since then, to explain it and keep people informed about this. So thank you very much, Jonathan Weiner. Nice to have you back on the show.
Pleased to be here for the final countdown.
Yeah, the final countdown, these 10 days. For folks who don't fully understand what that means, you have to have health insurance of some kind by March 31st or else you face a tax penalty, right?
Yeah, that's just it. So this is the first open enrollment period to sign up for health insurance, either through the government marketplace or here in Maryland through Maryland's health exchange. The next enrollment period won't open until November 15th.
Now, March 31st, how hard a deadline is that, Jenna?
Well, it is a deadline. And the federal government has said they are not extending this deadline. This is a set deadline. But in Maryland, they've said as long as you have formally expressed interest in getting health insurance, and the best way to do that, they're setting up a hotline that you can call, and just to let them know, I want insurance, I want to try to do this, and you get on their list. You know, you might not get formally enrolled until after March 31st, but as long as you've formally shown interest before the deadline, you should be okay.
Do you have that hotline with you?
You know what? I don't.
Oh, we can get it real fast. But first of all, 211 does put you in touch with this whole system, right?
That's all you need to do, 211.
That actually is the easiest one. And Jonathan, if you call 211 at any point before March 31st, you're
well,
in
they'll need to refer you. That's the General Health and Human Services state hotline. But right now, this is pretty much all they're doing. And if you go to the webpage, MarylandHealthConnection.gov, by the way, it's a lot better than it's ever been. I was just there yesterday. We can talk about that a bit, but that's past us. There is a direct number that people can call that'll get you right to the health care. And as Jenna says, you do need to register by March 31st. I don't think they'll extend it nationally for this, but we will talk during the show. There are a few exceptions and exemptions. For example, if you're low income, you can still get Medicaid afterwards. And by the way, you still can get health care after March 31st, just with not federal subsidies. And you might be in trouble with the IRS come 2014, but we'll talk about 15 rather. We'll talk about that.
Let me give the numbers again. The easiest way to do this is, as Jonathan said and Jenna just said, 211. Call the one that Ladarius Webb is advertising. If you call that, they'll put you into the system, connect you to somebody to give you a hand. The other number, the one that Jenna mentioned, I just looked this up. Meredith Cohn of The Sun had this in her story the other day about the hotline being offered with applications for people who are stuck with applications in the exchange website, especially those folks. If you've been locked out, if you tried to enroll online and you had trouble, that's 800-396-1961. 800-396-1961. But for everybody else, if you're just getting started today, 211 is the recommended phone call. And when Vinny was on the show on Friday, someone called in wanting to know how to get some help, how to get started with the or to get their situation, their application fixed. So Vinny recommended 211, and we have a result of that phone call. It was a Mr. Pearson who called our show looking for help, and this is the end result of that, because I guess we all like happy endings. This is from Kate Schulz, who's at the United Way of Central Maryland, and said, I called and spoke with Mr. Pearson a few minutes ago. He was very happy to report that after we spoke earlier this afternoon, he went to Healthcare Access Maryland's main office and met with a navigator who was able to bypass his account lockout and proceed with his enrollment. He reported that he was there for about an hour and is very happy with the plan that he selected. His COBRA coverage ends March 31st, so it was extremely important that he be able to enroll for April 1st coverage. So there's your happy ending. And, you know, he had to actually go physically to a place and do this. There's a lot of that going on in Maryland.
Yeah, that's, again, the 211 will help you, direct you. There is, of course, you can do it on the webpage, and the webpage has never been better. It's not that it's perfect, but you can go to what are called navigators or connectors where there are offices. Each county has a different human service agency that will physically help you. And there are dozens, if not hundreds, of regular insurance brokers that have been certified, just a regular insurance agent. And they can all help you go through the government program. And again, to review, which we'll do as we go forward, the government program looks at your income. And if it's below a certain level, it's about $16,000 for an individual, $32,000 for a family of four, you'll get it for free through private insurance plans through the Medicaid program. If your income is above that, and you're single, and it's up to $45,000, you'll be subsidized. And if you're a family of four, up to $94,000, you'll be subsidized. All of that must go through one of these formal Maryland Health Connection programs.
Hey, I said at the beginning of the show, I made a distinction between Medicaid numbers and numbers of folks enrolled in some form of private insurance. And just to go over that a little bit and why it's important, the big number for people going into Medicaid, those are people, as Jonathan was just describing, who qualify for full subsidy. I want to call it free, but it is. It's government-run insurance. That's Medicaid, right? That's the big number. The other number, 40,670 was the number we saw the other day, Jenna. Those are people who are enrolling in some sort of private plan, subsidized, but they're still paying customers, right?
That's right. So for a lot of those people, the government's picking up part of the bill. You know, depending on how much they make, depends on how much is being picked up. And there are probably some people included in that number who don't qualify for subsidies, but have, you know, are paying the full freight of an insurance plan. But a lot of people who didn't need a subsidy have not gone through the exchange. They've just gone directly to an insurance company and gotten the insurance directly there.
The reason that number is important, Jonathan Weiner, I'll go to you on this, is because of the financial health of Obamacare as we go forward, right? The so-called paying customers, the people who are subsidized, the younger people who need to pay into the system, whose incomes, you know, are high enough that they can afford insurance and have come in from the cold
yet. At first, we were afraid the so-called young invincibles, you know, who, as you say, you know, are subsidizing a little bit. You know, they're actually getting a pretty good deal. I have a young invincible son. Yeah, Dad, I'm not so sure. He went, and he was able to get a pretty decent policy for about, it was like $1,500 a year or $1,200 a year.
He's older than 26.
Correct. And so it's really not a bad deal for any of you young invincibles out there. Moreover, just to remind everybody, if you don't get insurance by the 31st, you'll pay up to 1% of your income, or $95, whichever is higher, in 2015. So if you're making $50,000 a year, which is above the threshold that you get a you know, some subsidy, that would be what? That would be about a $500 penalty next year. You might as well buy insurance.
Let's talk about the website. You said you went on Maryland Health Connection and it was working.
Well, I didn't register, but I went all the way, and it was, you know, I've been trying it over the months, and I must admit it wasn't very good. But now it seems to be much, much better. And, you know, I hope we can get beyond this, you know, that is the technical glitches.
What do you hear about it, Jenna? Is it working?
It's working much, much better than it has been. But it's still not working well enough that the state would keep it after this enrollment period. I mean, from what I've been told, there are so many structural problems with it that the state's looking at abandoning all or most of it as soon as this open enrollment period's closed.
And they're reportedly looking at the Connecticut system because that's considered a better system, has been working better since October 1st. Maryland may embrace that system.
Yeah, so Maryland has a bunch of options, and I'm told that they're still going through all of those options, pricing them out, seeing how long each one is going to take. The favorite one right now is Connecticut, which means that they would take the coding and the technology that has worked so well in Connecticut and use it to rebuild the exchange site here in Maryland. And the thing with Connecticut is it's not the fanciest exchange in the country. You know, the staff there likes to say that, you know, if exchanges were cars, then their exchange is a reliable Ford that you have to roll up and down the windows, but it'll get you to the grocery store and back. And, you know, it's not the Cadillac of exchanges, but it's worked really well for what they needed. And their enrollment numbers have been beyond what they had hoped for.
410-662-8780 is our phone number here from Midday. If you have a comment or question about the Affordable Care Act as we approach the deadline for signing up for that on March 31st, if you've had an experience here in Maryland with getting signed up, good or bad, we'd like to hear from you. If you have a question about what happens next, please give us a ring. We're joined by Jenna Johnson, who was just speaking, Maryland politics reporter for The Washington Post, and Jonathan Weiner, professor of health policy and management at the Bloomberg School of Public Health. They'll be with us for the entire hour. If you have a question you want to submit it by email, midday@wypr.org. A short break. We'll be right back to take your calls. And we're on Facebook and Twitter. You can send us a tweet with a question, MiddayWYPR, or a comment, MiddayWYPR. Let's go to the phone lines. Holly in Churchville, thank you for holding. Go right ahead with your question.
It's actually Church Hill on
Eastern
Shore.
Oh, Church Hill. Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you? I'm concerned about the enrollment figures. I hear that we have, you know, 40,000 payers in Maryland, and I'm wondering what were the projections, and if they know, you know, countrywide, what the projections or percentages were for people who actually have to buy in.
Okay, let's tackle Maryland first, Jenna. What the governor had projected for enrollment for folks who would qualify for a subsidized private plan.
Got it. So overall, Maryland has about 800,000 people who are uninsured. Of those, the state was originally hoping that at least 150,000 of them would sign up for one of these qualified health plans during the first year. The lieutenant governor actually cited an even higher goal at one point, was saying, you know, he expected 180,000 people would sign up. And so far, we've had just over 40,000. In the last few weeks, the state has said, oops, we made a mistake. You know, our goals were based on projections that were a little off, and that a better projection for these private plans is more around 75,000 to 100,000. A federal goal for Maryland has pegged it at about 100,000.
Can I ask you about the oops? Just go back to the oops for a moment there, because someone listening to that for the first time and getting those facts as you just lay them out would say, oh, it sounds like they revised it down because the mess with the online exchange.
Well, they say that that's not the case at all, that they had contracted researchers at UMBC to study data and to come up with a projection. And when you look through the original report, the years were labeled wrong. Rather than looking at it was something calendar years versus fiscal years. And when you basically what had happened was there were too many people in one enrollment period versus spread out over a calendar year.
OK, so you don't think that revision was just done for political reasons?
I won't get
Jenna on that. She's a reporter. She's not a columnist like me. Okay. Okay. So continue then. So we start with 800,000 uninsured. Many of those people aren't eligible because they're undocumented, living in the United States, undocumented, right?
Correct. Right. And a lot of people, Medicaid enrollment has been much higher than the state had expected. And a lot of that is because there are people who've said, oh, good, I can now pay for insurance that I can afford. They call up and they find out, congratulations, you qualify for Medicaid. And so there's a lot of people, you know, whose income met those requirements and didn't have to purchase a plan because they were going to go into Medicaid.
Okay, so at 40,670, maybe a little higher by today, because that number is a week old now. Still, considering all the glitches, is that, what do you think, Jonathan Weiner? Is that considered a good number if they hit 50,000 by March 31st?
It's a good start. I think everyone involved would have liked more. And as you know, whenever I come on the show at different times, I remind everybody, this is a long haul. This is the biggest change in healthcare in about 40 years. I think it has an awful lot of really good things about it. It will never be perfect. I think no one would have anticipated the bumps in the initial road would have been as bad as they were. But, you know, a year from now, I think most of the uninsured who are eligible, you know, will come on board. You know, there's the issue of the undocumented and the whole issue of Medicaid versus non-Medicaid. It's important. You use the term government program, and that's true. But it's all private, sometimes for-profit health insurance plans that are providing the care, both on the Medicaid side, you know, and on the, you know, exchange side. And, you know, some Democrats didn't like that. But again, that's past history.
Let's take another call. Theo in Baltimore. Theo, welcome to the show. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Dan and panel. Part of my question has been answered. It's my understanding that undocumented will not be covered. Is that correct?
Yes, but. So it's true that the undocumented individuals cannot sign up through the government Medicaid program. They also will not get the subsidy that one would get through the exchange. But, of course, an undocumented individual is eligible for health insurance if they pay it either through their employer or on their own. And there's now, you know, new policies that are more affordable. You know, I'm not sure. For sure, you can go directly to the insurance plans and get them. but no. And in addition, as part of this, there are some extra support at community health centers and other places, and there's still opportunities in hospitals to pay for the uninsured. But no, that's not that's one of the Achilles heels of,
okay.
of the
self-care
plan.
Okay, and will all the undocumented then have to pay this penalty?
I don't believe so. No, I mean, there's the taxes.
Yeah.
I don't know how the tax
Yeah, that's a good question.
Work,
actually, I don't know. I know a lot of undocumented have a taxpayer ID number, a TIN, a TIN, so they pay taxes. A lot of them do. I wonder if
any tax preparation agency or accountant that services that community will have the answer to that.
It's hard to imagine that you get taxed for something, or penalized for something you're not eligible for.
I can't believe that, although I don't know the answer exactly.
Marie has a question. Marie's in Canton. Thank you for calling Midday.
Hi. I have a question. An employer is signing up the whole company with insurance, and they're going to give us an update Monday. Doesn't sound like it's going to be done by the 31st. So should we still get something through their for ourselves?
Do you know how many employees your employer has?
It's about 300 total. It's the construction crews are the ones that are not covered. They're immediate offices, so I'm saying maybe 150 to 200.
Okay. So you're wondering whether you should go ahead and get individual insurance?
Yeah, but then if I like the business, you know, what the company's coming up with, then what do you do? You know, I guess I just can cancel.
You know, that's
pending.
Good question.
Yeah.
All right, hold on, Marie.
There are a couple pieces to it. First of all, employers, it was going to be this year, but now it's not until 2015. An employer over 50 must get health insurance or pay a pretty significant fee per employee, but that's not until 2015. So it's good that the company you speak of is starting a little earlier. And we'll talk a little bit later in the show about companies less than 50. I don't know. I know that there's a pro rata. So in other words, you don't have to pay the whole penalty if you're uninsured, let's say for a month or two, and your insurance company comes on board. Your employer comes on board. I also know there's special circumstances where the IRS will forgive any penalty. So I would call and ask, or actually someone in your company should get the answer to that. Jenna, do you have, beyond what I've said, other thoughts on the predicament she's in?
You know, I really don't.
That sounds like a question for 211.
Yeah,
Marie,
yeah.
Have you tried 211, Marie?
Not yet.
Why don't you try that? And
no.
if you get through and they answer your question before the hour's up, call us back and let us know. And speaking of 211, I'd like to hear from anybody else who has called in or gone to get some help. If you attended the Howard County Health Department's event this weekend where people could come in and sign up, did you get what you wanted? Were you surprised at the results? Did you keep the insurance you had before? Did you get new insurance? Have you been on the exchange? Have you made choices? I would love to hear from folks who have been through this. And if you're 28, 29, 30 years old, uninsured prior to Obamacare, have you decided to sign up or just pay the $95? Is it $95?
Or 1%, depends how much you make.
Or 1%, depending on your income.
It'll be at least 95, right. Or it could be 1% of your income.
Okay. Well, I'd like to hear from some of the young invincibles out there, whether you've decided to sign up for insurance or not, especially if you're in that age group, say 27 to 35. 410-662-8780 is our number. The Midday email address, midday@wypr.org. You can send us a tweet, MiddayWYPR as well. The toll-free long-distance number, good from anywhere in the country, and you can phone in with your experience wherever it is in the United States with getting health insurance, 866-661-9309. You know, this weekend I had to explain to somebody in an email. Let me tell you what happened. I reported that number that we've been using, 40,600 and, what is it, 690, 600 and... 70, okay, whatever that was, people in Maryland who have signed up since October 1st for private health insurance, right? And somebody wrote to me saying, there are 5.x numbers of Marylanders, a million Marylanders here, and that's pathetic that only 47,000 or so have health insurance. And I had to explain to him, this person at this late point, you know, 4 years after the ACA passed, that this is for people who were uninsured or underinsured, and that what is it, Jonathan?
85% of all Marylanders already have insurance.
Already have insurance.
And by the way, just stay put, all of you. You don't need to do anything.
You don't need to do anything.
Unless you want to.
Right, right. And so, I mean, it was just one person. I'm surprised that anybody still thinks that that number represents the number of insured people through all of Maryland. This is starting with the 800,000 number, 800,000 uninsured Marylanders when the debate over the ACA started. It's come down a bit now since the expansion of Medicaid, right? So we're, and there's many people who aren't eligible for ACA. So we may end up with, what, 300,000, maybe 400,000 people insured over the long term who did not have insurance.
I think,
right?
So, yeah.
Is that where we're headed?
Well, the federal government identifies 45 to 50 million uninsured across the country. And before the Republican states backed off, that's a whole other issue. We're not a Republican state at the moment, right? The hope was that 30 million of the 45 million would be insured. So that's about three quarters. So I'd imagine we'd be about the same here, if not a little bit better.
Right. 410-662-8780 if you'd like to join us. Alan in Galena, thank you for calling Midday. Hi.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just wondering about the state-run websites for the sign-up for the Affordable Care. It seems like, you know, when it started, I was under the assumption that it was a federal site that you went to and signed up, and since there was so much trouble, those that the state were opening up their own. Is that true or not true? And if so, if the states are doing this on their own, is the federal government picking up a tab for that, or is the state doing it themselves?
Yeah, so there's 14 states that decided to set up their own exchange rather than using the federal website, mostly just to give them more freedom and be able to kind of set things up the way that they want to. Maryland is one of those 14 states, and nearly all of the tab is being picked up by the federal government. There are some state funds that are being used, and going forward, as Maryland creates a new exchange or rebuilds its exchange or switches to something new, it's still unclear how that's going to be paid for.
That $260 million figure that's thrown around is the ultimate cost of Maryland's online exchange and the remedies for its glitches. Is that, that's the operative number we've been getting, the estimate, right?
Gosh, the dollars and cents on this are so difficult to nail down. But the big number that we've heard is this $260 million over about 4 or 5 years. And that's the cost of building the original exchange and running the original exchange. So all of the salaries and, you know, web hosting and all of the expenses that go into doing this. And
didn't it include some of the fixed costs as well? I mean, the hiring of extra call center people, more navigators?
Yeah, so the state's been, as these new expenses come up, they're pretty much spending money that they hadn't planned on spending until later. So the government gave them a pot of money to make this site. They've been burning through it at a quicker rate than they expected. And when it's gone, that's the point at which they're either going to have to recover money from contractors who didn't fulfill promises, or get state money, or get more money from the federal government.
Jonathan Weiner, I want to ask you this question. If the federal site, the big Obamacare site, had not had glitches in the beginning, if Maryland had not had these glitches, if everything went smoothly and all these sites were as described, as predicted, to be sort of Expedia, Priceline type of sites, you go on, you look at the different plans available to you, with a few clicks of your mouse, you got it, right? If all of that had happened, where do you think we'd be today compared to where we are?
Well, maybe twice. The New York,
twice as big?
Well, the New York Times reports, what, 5-6 million nationally into the so-called qualified health plans, which are the private HMOs that you can get through healthcare.gov. By the way, anyone that goes to healthcare.gov will be sent to their state, one of those 14 states, or the national one. And then about another 5 or 6 million have went into the private health plans through the Medicaid programs, mm-hmm. both through, you know, the web pages.
About 10 to 12 million?
Yeah, but right? We'll get there eventually. And by the way, the Medicaid, anyone listening there who believes they're eligible for Medicaid, that does not shut down on March 31. And speaking of that, on April 1 also, the so-called SHOP or SHOP opens up, and that is for companies with 50 or less. Is that correct? I believe it's 50 or less can now start buying. But I think we will reach the federal target of about two-thirds of the uninsured and here in Maryland as well, probably by next year or the year after. It's going to take some time.
Well, you said that even before all these problems became apparent, before October 1st, you said we'll get there eventually. People have to recognize these projections are made. They're often optimistic. And the implementation actually takes time. It takes people to even with all the talk we do about it on the air, even with Ladarius Webb's fine radio advertisement, it's still going to take a while for people to know they even have to do this.
I mean, this is a moonshot. We also forget for the first time in history now, if you have cancer or HIV, you get health insurance. For the first time in history, if you need a transplant, no problem. It's covered up to any limit. That never happened in America until January 1. You know, no one's talking about that. And that's pretty big for all of us.
410-662-8780. We'll take one more call before our next break. This is Mike. It's either Churchville or Church Hill. Which is it, Mike?
Oh, it's Churchville, Maryland.
Okay.
Good morning.
Very good.
Good afternoon.
Nice to hear from you. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I signed up through the Maryland Exchange on February the 26th. And I've yet to get a welcome package or any information. After spending probably at least 8 hours trying to get through their website with various pages locking up and the system losing information, I did contact a number of departments. It's very time-consuming, and there's a lot of confusion. I was told that I would get the enrollment within 3 to 4 weeks. And I've yet to see anything.
All right, Mike, let me ask you a couple of questions, okay?
Sure.
Did you sign up for an individual plan or a family plan?
It's a husband and wife plan. I guess that would be a family plan.
And which one did you choose? What plan did you choose?
They didn't allow me to choose one. Since I'm semi-retired and working part-time, based on my income, there was only one choice, and that choice was Medicaid.
Okay, so you haven't heard from not a broker, but a carrier for Medicaid.
I've called the exchange countless times. They have a hotline. There's a number of different numbers. You'll spend at least 6 hours trying to get an answer.
Yeah, I was told on Saturday, I asked a few questions about that, when people went to this Howard County Health Department event, those who were steered toward Medicaid or eligible for Medicaid were told that they would hear from
Medicaid is the government umbrella, but it's one of five or six or seven managed care organizations, all of whom are private. Some are for profit. They're actually, most of them, quite effective organizations. However, as you've discovered, Mike, you know, right now is they're not at their best. But the good news is you know, as long as you've kept all the paperwork, you're covered if something happens. And it will happen.
What I was told. The gentleman I interviewed there said he was given a. He said he would receive a notice about who his managed care organization was.
Yeah, and I got news to you. Most of us in a place of employment don't usually get all the paperwork within 30 days either. But I would keep on top of it. And I don't know if you know the specific organization that covers you. You might even want to consider calling them directly.
Do you think Mike should assume that he has coverage then because he enrolled?
I would double check by the 31st, but he's probably okay.
It sounds like he's okay.
And by the way, if it is in fact Medicaid and he believes he's eligible, the April 1 deadline doesn't apply.
Oh, is that right?
To the best of my knowledge.
Okay. Well, Mike, thanks for telling us about that. You said you're in Churchville, so who do you call when you call? Do you call a state number?
There are a couple of numbers. There's a hotline for the Maryland Exchange,
right.
And then there's the Maryland Exchange, and then there's a Medicare number.
So what happens when you call them? Do they say just sit tight, or what do they say?
They tell you, they'll say, we'll get back to you next week. And then you know, that answer obviously isn't good enough, so you try another number. And you speak to various, you know, supervisors or whatever, and nobody seems to know what the status is. Nobody can really give you any kind of a concrete answer.
Well, I hope they're listening. Mike, thank you. Go ahead.
What, oh, sure. Thanks, gentlemen.
Did you want to say one more thing?
Oh, you know, I was an IT professional for over 30 years, and what a horrible experience.
Yeah.
Just this user interface, this website, what a waste of money that the state wasted on this. It would have been very easy to do. You know, as a Microsoft solution provider, this was an easy thing to do, and to see the waste and the confusion and, you know, the heartache that, that people are incurring is a real shame. But, yeah, I mean, these are stumbling blocks, but at a cost.
But, Mike, the good news is it will happen, and you'll now get coverage now at a price that wouldn't have happened before. So let's take the long view.
Yeah.
But, you know, your experience is probably pretty common.
I understand his apprehension,
I do,
though,
too. I'd
you're
be
worried,
pretty upset
right,
for me.
Whether you have insurance or not, and you hear about these deadlines. And also, what he said about the website, I mean, I know this is, we have to move on and keep moving forward, but 3 years in the making, one day in the breaking, and maybe it's fixed now. We went to North Dakota for a company to make this thing happen in a state, a pretty progressive state of Maryland, where the governor was touting, making all these projections about how great the state exchange was going to be. Okay, all right, enough of that. 410-662-8780. Dan Rodericks here. Jenna Johnson from The Washington Post. Jonathan Weiner from the Bloomberg School of Public Health answering your questions about Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, the deadline approaching March 31st. You can tell us about your experience, or if you have a question, just give us a ring. Speaker of the House John Boehner saying the other day that the Affordable Care Act so far has caused, quote, a net loss of people with health insurance. PolitiFact, what is it? PolitiFact.com, which is a site I always go to. I just never pronounce it very much. Did a check on this. And this is what they said about Boehner's statement that there's been a net loss of people with health insurance under the ACA. Speaker Boehner's logic is based on reports that about 5 million had their insurance policies canceled, while 4.2 million signed up for policies on the state and federal marketplaces. It's bad math for two reasons. First, most of the people who lost their insurance have seen those policies extended to them through an administrative fix, or they received new coverage through their previous insurer, or they bought a new plan. Second, Boehner ignores the millions of people who bought coverage off the exchange, those who gained coverage through Medicaid, and the under 26 crowd able to remain on their parents' insurance, which is probably a considerable number, millions of young people. We don't yet know how many new Americans will ultimately gain coverage, but every indicator right now suggests it will be a net gain. We rate Boehner's statement false. There you go, for the record, because there's a lot of information out there and misinformation still about the Affordable Care Act, highly politicized, and will be for the rest of the year going into the midterm elections. I'm sure there'll be more of where that came from John Boehner.
Rest of the year? How about the rest of the decade?
The rest of the decade. Thank you very much. Jonathan Weiner from the Bloomberg School of Public Health and Jenna Johnson with us here from the Washington Post. Let's take some more phone calls and answer questions from our listeners. Ivan in Columbia, thank you for calling. Ivan, are you there? Okay, let's hold off on Ivan. Let's see if Ivan's actually on the line. We'll go to, is it Guy in Dundalk?
G.
I'm sorry, G. All right.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
I have a question. My wife came 2 years ago, and she's had a green card, and I'm a citizen. I got a Medicare. My child had a Medicare. I applied for her. They turned her down. They said she's not eligible because she has to be a citizen or has to be 5 years for green card, you know. And this point, I don't know what should I do. And she gets sick a lot. And this point, I don't know what should I do. I can't get help, you know. I couple of time apply, and they turned me down, you know. They say you're not eligible, you know.
Well, again, as we discussed before, folks aren't citizens, and I guess there's a certain threshold on the green card. I didn't know it was 5 years, so you may want to call 211 and double check that. There certainly is a threshold. It's true that if you're below that threshold, you cannot get Medicaid and you cannot get the subsidized insurance. But starting January 1, I would try again. Most of the private insurance companies, CareFirst, Blue Cross, and United Healthcare offer everybody health insurance at a pretty decent rate, and they can't not take you if someone has a disease. So, Gee, I would double check again. I don't know, Jen, if you know about the 3 or 5 year threshold.
You know, that is beyond my knowledge.
All right, let's take another call here. Mark in Gaithersburg will go to you next. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead, Mark.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question in regard to how is the adjustment of the increasing in the rate year by year or so. I have a bad experience with the insurance companies that they are going too fast up. And I had a private insurance that after 3 years, it turned to be almost double and I could not afford it anymore. So in the new one, by knowing that the customer is forced to buy the insurance, what is the safeguard to basically don't let the insurance company take advantage of the people?
Well, first of all, anything within the exchange that is either the Medicaid private plans or the so-called qualified health plans are very tightly regulated and monitored. However, they're still private insurance companies, and there can be increases. Outside the exchange, people that aren't getting a subsidy, either employers or others, I mean, it's the same thing that we had before, Mark. Sometimes insurance prices go up, sometimes they don't. There's more regulation as part of the ACA, Obamacare, than we've ever had before. And more of the money must go back to the policyholder and can't go into companies' profits than ever before. But most critics, health policy experts, don't consider the ACA to have done everything that they could be possible for healthcare costs. That's because most of us don't want them to do that because we like our healthcare.
Jenna Johnson, I wanted to go to you with this question. If one goes on the exchange in Maryland to shop for insurance and not eligible for Medicaid, but must pay something for private health insurance. The choices are CareFirst, Blue Cross Blue Shield, right? Kaiser, United's on there. And we come to Evergreen Health Cooperative, the one that was founded by Peter Bielenson, the former health officer for Howard County and former health commissioner of Baltimore City. Another gentleman who's been on our show many times before and after the passage of the ACA to try to explain it to our listeners and talk about it. How are they doing? That's the question. I've asked Peter Bielenson this question, but not for a while now. So you had an excellent story about this. I wanted to ask you, how are they doing with all the problems and all the glitches that there have been?
Well, they're still optimistic. They're still very, very optimistic. They have this big dream of offering a new kind of health insurance and a new kind of health care that's affordable, that's common sense, that, when you go to the doctor, you get all of your answers right there, then and there. You can take yoga classes, you can get counseled on how to eat better, they'll help you stop smoking when you're ready to stop smoking and things like
that. Pretty comprehensive offer.
Exactly. But they're the new kids on the block. No one's heard of them before. And they've raised a lot of money so that they can promote themselves and get themselves out there. But up until recently, when people went onto the exchange, it was difficult to find their plans, and they were kind of overshadowed by the other ones that were on there. Last time I checked with them, their enrollment's still it's around 600 in that range. It's in the hundreds instead of the thousands. They had hoped in their first year to get 10,000 people signed up and to open all these health centers and to use those premiums to open even more health centers and to rapidly grow. So for now, they're trying to get as many people as they can through the exchange. They're also offering plans to small businesses. They're trying to see if maybe the state or different state agencies would bring them on as one of the options that they give to their employees. And they're praying and hoping that come November 15th, there's a new exchange that works perfectly fine and shows their plan and all of the components of it, and that at that point many more people start signing up for it.
I'd encourage people to take a close look, particularly if they're eligible for a subsidy. But even if they're not, anybody can sign up. And those that have complained about private commercial insurance companies, which have their pros and cons, this is your chance to try something different if you think that's what you'd like
to do.
Yeah,
this is a different model. This is a cooperative.
It's a cooperative. It's not for profit.
Right. It was established through the Affordable Care Act, and Evergreen got a $65 million federal loan once it was chartered to get rolling. And it is a unique and comprehensive offering there. So I guess, Jonathan, Peter Bielans is not overly shocked that people aren't familiar with Evergreen, that they had a way to go to convince people that they were a competitor. But the glitches with the website certainly didn't help.
Yeah. But he's gone a lot to small employers. And let me say a word about that. You know, right now, small employers don't have to provide insurance. By the way, small employers never, if you're below 50, it is never required or mandated that you provide insurance. However,
below 50 employees.
I'm sorry, yes, 50 full-time equivalent employees. That's a whole other issue. How do you do the counting? But as of 2015, anybody with 50 full-time employees or higher must provide health care or there'll be penalties for the boss. Another important point is today, any of you listening that are small companies, there's a pretty hefty subsidy you'll get through the IRS if you have 25 or less employees. I think it's up to half of what you'll pay will get subsidized through tax law. So look into that. And the other point is as of April 1, we'll see what happens, but that's the intention. Anyone here in Maryland with 50 employees or less can, buy through the exchange. So it's almost like the same that a large company would have. You have a choice of pretty much all the health plans that are available. So just something to take note if you're a company owner.
Another question, this one from Dave in Parkton. Dave, you're on WYPR. Hi.
Dan, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Really quickly, I'm a little confused on the Medicaid issue. When you say that somebody qualifies for Medicaid, does that mean that they have no premium or co-pays? It's all paid for by the government?
Quick answer is yes. I think there's small amounts sometimes you have to pay, when you visit a doctor, very small. And by the way, if anyone who's listening thinks they're eligible, it's about $16,000 for an individual and about $32,000 for a family of four. I guess a lot would depend how you would count that. The exchange will help you settle that, and you get into a private health plan and pretty much no other expenses.
So, Dave, you're wondering, with all those signups of Medicaid, government-funded program, how is this going to work financially, Obamacare?
Well, yeah, that was one thing. I was having a discussion with a friend of mine several months ago, and he was touting, oh, look, we've got so many people jumping on the website so quickly. And I said, just be careful, because look at how many of those people, when it all shakes out in the wash, how many of those people are getting Medicaid? Because financially, I'm not an economist, but financially, I don't see how any of this is tenable.
Well, the majority.
That's why you need the paying customers, right?
That's why you need the paying customers, and the Medicaid program exists today. It's just that a lot of people in with low incomes, weren't covered. And again, every country in the world does it. We could have a discussion of the role of where should the threshold be, but for now, this is where we are, and I think for the foreseeable future. Although most of the growth is really going to be in people who aren't going to get a free ride. They'll have to pay something.
Here's an email from Sohn who says the health connection is still broken. You forget your password, the system locks you out. He says, or she says, I'm down here at Human Resource 201 Baltimore Street waiting with tens of people who are having the same problem. Yeah, the problem seemed to be for people who first got in a while ago. And, they set up an account, right, Jenna? They registered, they had a password, and then they keep getting locked out.
I've been told that if you just woke up today and decided that you want to go on and start this process today, you'll actually have pretty good success rates that you should be able to get an account and get through. But if you went on in October and, put in your information then, those are a lot of the people who are just stuck in the system.
And you have to call 800-396-1961, 396-1961. That's a special hotline set up for people who had started this process a while ago and got stuck. But for everybody else, until March 31st, through March 31st, just dial 211, right, Jonathan?
That's it. And
211.
And register for something.
Jonathan Weiner joining us again from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Always a big help. Thank you for being on the show today.
Sure.
And Jenna Johnson, thank you for coming up from the Washington Post to visit with us. Jenna Johnson covering Maryland politics, including the health insurance rollout here for the Washington Post. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll take a break for a lunch brought to us by The Veranda, located in Hamden on 36th Street, serving home-style Indian food. Thank you, Veranda. Thank you, folks, for listening. Tune in for the second hour of Midday.